Before we get started, I want to read something. I don't know if it fits with the lesson, but it stuck out to me last Sunday, and I'm sure most of you probably read it. It was in the bulletin. And it's a statement made by Abraham Lincoln. And I found it very profound, very interesting. I'll read it to you. Again, it was in last week's bulletin. It says, We have been preserved many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Remember, this is Abraham Lincoln, okay? This is back in the 1800s. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. Abraham Lincoln. Again, I don't know where it was going to fall into the lesson today, but that really stuck out to me last Sunday morning. And to think of the time that it was the era in which that was said by President Lincoln back then, how much more today have we forgotten God? You know, Psalm 13, maybe this is how it fits, starts out with, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me?" Lincoln was talking about how we forgot God. And obviously, back in Psalm 13, God hasn't forgotten us. God hadn't forgotten David. He was not hiding from David. And we'll get into that more as we get into the lesson. But the cross between the two of them, I guess, is what intrigued my thoughts. But said we were intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Well, that is us in a nutshell. We think that we have arrived many times in our nation. We're something else when we make America great again, aren't we? We won't make America great again without God's grace. Amen. His preservation. None of that can happen. And I'm all American, and I'm all for what's going on right now in the upward tick, but I agree with many who say it's just a matter of time, folks, when the pendulum swings the other way. We should take every opportunity we have in these few years that things are good to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take every opportunity we get to help others along the way. Amen. This may be taken away from us, folks. I know it's hard to realize. Taken away from us. Let me remind you of 4-5 years ago when they started taking things away from us. And we can, hindsight's 20/20. Well, should have done this. I should have done that. We shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have done that. Hindsight's 20/20. Doesn't do you any good. You learn from it and move on. But things can turn the other way and quickly. don't really know why we started out that way, but let's read again Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We started on this chapter last week, and we said we have 3 points. We were working on the first one, not quite done that yet. We'll finish that up, and that's prayer in troubled times. And then the second part we see is performance in troubled times. And then the last part, the end of the psalm here, we see praise in troubled times. We said that David goes to the Lord in prayer when troubles come, and we can learn from him to go to the Lord in prayer when those troubled times come. We were looking at two different things about the troubled times, and the first one was the complaint and the prayer, and we're not going all over that again. And we started on that, and there was 5 things that we were looking at here. I'm sorry, I can't read my own notes. We said the complaint and the prayer was number one under prayer in troubled times. Number two was discomfort in the complaint. There was 5 things under that. We covered 3 of them last week. And the first one was the experience of being forgotten, where he says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And stress the point again that God had not forgotten David, nor has he forgotten me and you. And he will not forget us. The Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Then we looked at the exclusion from God's face. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? We've seen that. We illustrated that in that through the Bible. It talks about God's face shining on us. I'd found a verse in between last week and this week, and that's Psalm 31:16, where David said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. We want God's face to shine upon us, but David in this psalm seemed to being excluded from God's face. He says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? David was in a great despair here at the beginning of this psalm. And we can relate to him many times. There's things that happen in our lives, and we get ahead of God, or we lag behind sometimes. And we wonder, where is God? Where is he at when all this is going on? The question has been brought up this week with all the floods and stuff and the things the pastor was talking about. And I've seen comments of things, where was God? Where was God? God was right where he always is. Yes. And he knows. Yeah. People don't realize how quickly that things can turn in one's life. You know, we've took our kids to Christian camp. We've sent our kids to Christian camp. And, you know, especially when you send them, you always have that fear, I guess, and you spend time in prayer. Of course, you want the Lord to speak to their hearts, but at the same time, you're letting your children go somewhere. They're not under your supervision, and you don't know, because as much as you want to know where you're sending them, there sometimes can be things hidden that will happen. But you can't control it. And I cannot imagine what the parents are going through that lost those little girls in that. Lord willing, I would say at the age they were, that they are safe in the Lord's arms. But now, they were from the time something happened. But nonetheless, it's what people don't get out of all of it is, boom, it happens. You know, what Pastor said, 12 inches of rain in 2 hours. And the other thing that we don't realize, and getting a whole lesson of the weather here, but when we were in Arizona for Luke and Autumn's wedding, I noticed one thing. I noticed a lot of things, but I noticed one thing about the landscape around there, and that was all these dry creek beds. And it kind of intrigued me. I'm like, are you in the middle of a drought? And they said, oh, no, we're not. But, you know, it's the, because this was November when we were there. And they said, no, but when the rains come, they'll be full. Those creek beds will be full. That's why they're that big and that wide. And you just can't imagine that water coming down through there that fast. Now, obviously, it doesn't always come that fast, but things happen. But what most people don't realize is how quick life can change. And how that in a moment, things can happen. David's in despair here. He says, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long will I hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, David, in this situation, is being hunted by Saul, and he's not faced with a natural disaster, so as these people were down in Texas and other places recently. But yet, we can relate with those things. I can relate with me and my family, things happening very quick. Very quick things change in your life. I was recently trying to clean up some stuff in my desk, and even though it's been over a year since we moved, I still got a box or two that need to be unpacked and put away or thrown away or whatever. There's some, the one box that I was fumbling through trying to find something, I found a couple old Bibles that I had, and I was going through those Bibles, and something had happened when Luke and Autumn come. Evidently they had left their Bibles in the nursery because they had nursery duty before they came here. And they were looking for a Bible. So thus I was searching, trying to find them another Bible to bring along to church, you know, and have daily. So I wanted to thumb through it because you stick stuff in your Bible. Maybe you don't, but I do. But I can tell you that things change quickly. Things do change quickly. And David was in a situation where things changed quickly, and he was asking God if he had forgot him. And evidence of things changing quickly was found in that Bible, which I transferred it over to this Bible now. But this is just one thing that changes in life and changes quickly. But right there's a picture from 2015. It's one of our, probably is our favorite family picture. You can see a young man right here standing up, proud and straight. Not a thing wrong with him in the world. And things change in a heartbeat. Just like the things changed for David when he was in this situation and he was wondering where God was. There's been times through our life with what's happened in these last 10 years that we wondered where God was. I'm not Superman. My wife's not Superwoman. I don't have super kids. But things change, and we wonder sometimes, where's God? What's he going to do? What's he trying to do? talking about discomfort in the complaint. And we said that there was five discomforts that David lists here. I was going through them and I got sidetracked. Not really sidetracked, just something neat to be said. But the experience of being forgotten, the exclusion from God's face, the executing of plans, where he says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" David constantly trying to plan and figure out what to do in the situation. And we do. We are planners. But sometimes, and I left off with this, we just need to stand still and let God move in our lives. We have learned that over the years, especially the last 10, and even prior to that. This is not the only thing that's ever happened to me and my family. Sometimes you just have to stand still and let God move. Let him put yourself in a place where you're still and you can hear that still small voice that the Bible speaks of. Sometimes we're in such a flurry when things happen that we can't get comfort from God and we can't get it from his word. We can't get it from anywhere because we're in such a flurry of things. The complaint and prayer number four is the existence of sorrow. We see that in verse 2. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" When we go through troubled times of sorrow, remember our hope lies in the Lord, and he will bring it to an end. You're in Psalms. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. We'll read verses 1 through 5. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." Pay attention to verse 3. "The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." We could go on reading down through there and see more about it, but we'll stop there. The existence of sorrow. David knew something about the existence of sorrow. He was in sorrow because he figured that Saul was going to get him. Sorrow that this was going to be the end for him, for his life. And even knowing what he knew about God's plan for the future, he still was being hunted down. And no matter what you think about where God's going to go with you, what he's going to do with you, when those things come about you, sometimes they bring much sorrow. There's an existence of sorrow. Turn over to Isaiah. Be reminded of our Savior. Isaiah chapter 53. Talking about sorrow. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll start in verse 3. We could read a lot here, but for sake of time, we'll stay here pretty close. "He was despised and rejected," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here, "he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." A man of sorrows, verse 3. Not only did David know sorrow here, but the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the Man of Sorrows. The song, Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came. Man of Sorrows. Think about that when your troubles come. When we're talking about prayer in troubled times. You know, it'll help you and I to get through troubled times if we can think about something or someone else that is carrying sorrow. You know, this has occurred to me many times because I do. I get down sometimes and wallow in my own pity and feel bad for myself and what's going on around me, and woe is me. I do. Sometimes I do that. But you know what will help you? Because we're not, all of us that know the Lord as our Savior are going to go through things. You're not exempt from going through things. Just because we've bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, asked Him to come in our hearts, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of our sins, and give us eternal life, doesn't mean that things are all sunshine and roses from there on. Many times it seems like that's when things really start to come on. But the world knows sorrow too. They just don't have anyone to go to. That's why they turn to the bottle. That's why they turn to the needle. That's why they turn to whatever they can, their music, their worldly friends, whatever. They try to drown their sorrows, but they can't. They can't wash them away. But you and I that know the Lord as our Savior, when we go through things, and I think I would say for the vast amount of people here, that most of you know the Lord as your Savior. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you do need to know Him. This is very, very important that you know Him as your Savior. Again, we talk about the floods and how things came on so quick. What if that happened to you? What if it happened right here, right now? Where would you spend eternity? You won't have time when the floods start busting through the windows. You say, that could never happen here. Well, it might not be the flood. It might be something else. But back to what I was saying is it helps in times of sorrow to think of others. I've found that if I get my eyes off of my own problems and realize that there are others going through some tremendous things that's even worse than what I'm going through. Because we always think what we're going through is the worst thing in the world. But if we get our eyes off of that and think of somebody else and pray for somebody else, it tends to take that load of sorrow off of us. Because we're not focused on ourselves. We're focused on our brother and sister in the Lord. We got word. I got word this week, and I checked with Sarah, and I sent her a screenshot of this thing I'd saw, and I saw it on her church's site, and it was about a young man, 30 years old, and they were having a funeral service for him, and I took a screenshot and sent it to her, and I said, "What do you know about this? What happened? 30 years old. You know, it's odd, is it not? I'm 30 years old, boom." And so the story goes that this young man, who was, I believe, was a member of Trinity Baptist Church up there in Saline, right outside of Philly, where Ben and Sarah are members. And the 4th of July, he went to the shooting range. Shooting ranges seem like a pretty good place, don't it, Ed? Good place to be. Safety is utmost there. But a bullet ricocheted, Ed. Come back, went through his heart and his lung. Gone. That's quicker than the flood. 30 years old, married, daughter, under 10. I don't know the age right now, but under 10. and a baby on the way in August. Now, when you think about something like that, the sorrow that we think is existing in our lives, which it is temporarily, all of a sudden, does not your heart go out to someone like that? Why? The morning, Sunday morning, I got a call from Ed Krause that said, "Your dad had passed." After we spent all afternoon over here. Boom. Gone. That quick. The sorrow that was on your family and on this congregation was immense. What am I saying? And think about it. David here, he's complaining in Psalm 13. He's saying, "I'm having sorrow in my heart daily." But as we think about the sorrow that we have daily, if we just get our eyes off ourselves and think of others, it tends to lift that burden that we have, because we're so self-centered sometimes. And all we think about is, you know, me and mine. These four, no more, and all that. But get our minds off something beside ourselves. Back to Psalm 13. Think about, as we spoke of over there, read over there in Isaiah, think about, you know, others and their sorrow, but think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is known as the man of sorrows, right in the Word of God. He knew sorrow that you and I will never know. He took upon himself our griefs, our sorrows, took all that upon himself. And yet we can go to him. We can complain like David did here, and I'm not bashing on David because I do the same thing myself, but it's here in the scriptures when he says, you know, he's questioning God, have you forgotten me? Were you hiding your face from me? What's going on, Lord? I'm having sorrow in my heart daily. Don't you know what's going on, Lord? Don't we do that? But yet, realize that the fact that Jesus took all those sorrows upon himself, and he bore our griefs and our shame, and he died for our sins. Number five, under the complaint of prayer, is the exalting of evil. This changes tone just a little bit here. But it says in verse number two, "How long shall my enemy triumph over me?" He sort of ends his complaint here in verse two, and then goes on in verse three into another part here, which we'll get to eventually. But as he ends the complaint, he says, "How long shall my enemy triumph over me?" Again, Saul is after David. He's hunting him down, and he is after him. During this time in David's life, he was being pursued by Saul and his army. Saul was his enemy, and he was being exalted among the people. The people were liking Saul. For some reason, they were all for Saul. And they weren't. There was a few that were for David, but the majority of the people were for Saul, and they were for the enemy. This brought much shame to David. Oftentimes, we'll find our troubles will bring shame upon us and exalt the enemy. But do not let this get you down. Turn over to Psalm chapter 31. David was asking God why the enemy was triumphing over him. Psalm 31, start in verse 16, says, Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silent, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Is that not what David is saying in Psalm 13? Cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteously rewardeth the proud doer. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. This is David speaking here as well in the Word of God. He tells us to be of a good courage and strengthen our hearts, all ye that hope in the Lord. After he goes through and talks about the enemy and how that the enemy is trying to exalt himself over him, but yet he still has hope in the Lord. Number two, under prayer in troubled times. I'm sorry. Me and my outlines. The first one was the complaint in prayer, and then the second is prayer in troubled times. We see the consideration of prayer. Here we see David pleading with God to give attention to his prayer. We'll see three things in this verse, and we may or may not get through them. First thing we see is the hearing and the consideration, back in Psalm 13. As we change gears here a little bit, verse 3 says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Hearing in the consideration. In time of trouble, it often seems like God does not even hear our prayers. We get beside ourselves and don't trust him like we should, but rest assured, he hears our cries. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We shouldn't faint in the day of adversity, but we can. The Bible says if we faint in that day, then our strength is small. God does not want us our strength to be small. He wants our strength to be strong in him. Psalm 31, again. Psalm 31 and verse 7 and 8. Says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. God will set us in a large place when we realize that we need to trust him. David is saying here in this verse, asking God, pleading with God again after his complaint, he goes on and he says, consider, Lord, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. He's wanting God to hear his consideration. There's happiness in the consideration as well. It says, lighten mine eyes. David is pleading with God to shed light upon his situation, to give him understanding through the troubles. Turn to Psalm 18. David's his own commentary. Psalm 18 and verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over the wall. God will lighten us. There's happiness in the consideration. He will lighten our path if we ask him. Psalm 19, right across the page, and verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let me remind you that when we are in troubled times and in our prayer of through our troubled times, we need to stay in God's word. You don't just pray during troubled times. You get in God's word and get yourself in there and dig in there and ask God for an answer, because God does speak in a still small voice. But he speaks right here. And our answers will come from right here. Our comfort in our sorrow will come from these pages right here. We don't need to read other things. We can read other things and study. But let me tell you, the times that I've been in much sorrow and much conflict, God will open this book up to me like never before. And show us. In times of trouble, we must stay in God's word. And the last part of that is there's healing in the consideration. Verse 3 says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David's troubles were death-threatening. Saul wanted to kill him. God delivered David from his troubles. Here, the deliverance that David was asking for was of utmost importance. His life was being threatened, folks. Our lives are not being threatened, but yet we still go through things, and there are issues with us, there are things that go on, and they're concerns. God is concerned. He's a God that cares, and he is. His son, Jesus Christ, is a man of sorrows. He's went through things. He knows what we're going through. And he wants us to trust him in troubled times. Let's pray.